The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Now, a new study has shown a rise of more than 500% in children presenting mental health issues in the Temple Street Hospital in a 10-year period. Some of the main complaints they come in with are suicidal thoughts, deliberate self-harm and depression. Here to tell me more about this is Paediatric Specialist Registrar at Crumlin Hospital, Dr. Owen Fitzgerald, who was one of the people behind the study when he was in Temple Street. You're very welcome. Owen, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Not at all. A 500% increase sounds enormous, but how many physical numbers or what physical numbers are we talking about here?
So we started the study, we started looking at patients between the period of 2006 and 2017. So in 2006, there were 69 people presenting to the department in Temple Street with mental health presentations. This peaked in 2016 and we were up to 432 patients presenting with mental health disorders. So this is a massive increase, and that worked out as 526% increase, as you've mentioned. So,
okay.
And I suppose importantly to call out, in that same time period, the overall increase in presentations to the department as a whole was only 7%. So it just puts in perspective how significant this is and the fact that it's been growing exponentially.
Well, now, the jump is stark. Huge. It's almost vertical. What do you attribute that to? Is it more awareness? Is it the fact that, you know, it's recognizing people know I have this issue, I need to go and see special medical people or specialist medical people, I need to get treatment as opposed to trying to deal with it on their own? What?
Yeah, so that's one thing we looked at, and it's actually very difficult to put it down to one specific thing. So it's multifactorial, and this has been recognised internationally. So the findings we've had of this dramatic increase have been seen. We've looked at studies in Canada, New Zealand, France, and it's similar findings worldwide. It's difficult to say. As you mentioned, there definitely seems to have been an increase in awareness over the last number of years, with celebrities speaking about challenges they're having coming forward. And that certainly in the paediatric population, that can be very influential. It encourages children to be a bit more open about how they're feeling. So that's certainly had a role to play. Besides that, I mean, it's very difficult to call it out, and it wasn't really something we looked at specifically as part of this study.
Oh, okay. What sort of issues were they? I outlined some of them, right? But give me an idea of the range and variety of issues that they were presenting with.
So we looked in detail at the presentations over a 1 year period, exactly as you say, to try and find out what types of conditions we were seeing. So the most common presenting symptom we found, or presenting complaint, was actually suicidal ideation, which is obviously very dramatic, particularly in this cohort. And that accounted for 35% of patients.
Okay. And what age range are we talking about here?
So what we looked at, it was all children presenting to the department were under 16 years of age.
Okay.
So we captured their age groups, but we didn't actually analyze them based on their age as part of this study. Now, I worked very closely with Dr. Elizabeth Barrett, who's one of the psychiatry consultants in Temple Street, and also Dr. Ike Okafor, who is one of the emergency department consultants. And I believe that they're looking at that in more detail as further studies, but not as part of this specifically.
Okay, so if people are presenting with suicidal ideation, you know, there's obviously serious reasons for it, but there's also there are factors like alcohol, drink, the depression that can come as a result of that. They can, you know, a lot of these people would be so young that they don't actually really understand what suicide is or means, or you know, how terminal a wish or ideation it is. So do they fully understand what it was they were doing, or do you know what was the cause, or is there one cause that you can put a finger on and say this is what's driving this?
There's certainly not one cause we can put it down to, and I suppose I just put all my hands up and say I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm a general paediatric trainee, so I suppose I don't want to veer into speculation.
But when they come in, you have to diagnose them and get to the root of it, don't you?
It can be very difficult, certainly so. And first of all, I would say I didn't see all of these children myself. It was kind of retrospectively looking at the data over that period. But I mean, certainly we sometimes assume that children don't know, but they're obviously hearing about this and unfortunately are sometimes acting upon it.
And the reason I ask you the question is this, and it was actually we dealt with it a little earlier on in another item about Caroline Flack, which was that I come from a generation where suicide was the very last resort.
Yeah.
If you heard about it at all, I mean, a lot of suicides went unreported or they were covered up for family reasons or whatever. But in the last 10 to 15 years, I have noticed that this generation or these generations, if they get into mental health difficulties, have suicide on their plate or their menu as an option, so to speak. And I'm just wondering where that came from or why that is the case. How did that come to be, or do you know?
If I'm honest, I don't know the answer to that specific question, but I certainly would agree that our figures would suggest that there's been a dramatic increase. So, yeah, I suppose I don't want to veer into it. It wouldn't be an area that I know specifically about.
Okay.
I certainly would, like my consultant colleagues, like Dr. Barrett, would have done a lot more work into this area. I suppose I don't really want to comment too much on that because I don't know the specifics.
Fair enough. But I didn't mean to ask you a question you weren't qualified to ask, but it is something, as a parent.
It's very worrying. And that's why I suppose what I really wanted from this study is to drive awareness about the extent of this problem, because certainly since I've been talking about this and I've been talking to various other people about it, they're actually horrified to hear, particularly in the pediatric population. We do hear in general about the increases in mental health awareness in the general population, but I think
young men,
quite
18,
aware.
19, 20 to 25, that cohort I knew a lot about.
Exactly.
And I've dealt with a lot in professionally over the years because I've done programs about it and with people who've been through it and suffered and families who were bereaved by it. But when I hear people under 16 coming in, and that it's a significant factor in terms of what they feel is one of their options.
Yeah, you know, it's exactly. And that's what I want to come from this, for people to kind of be more aware of it. But following on from that, I want people to be aware. And I mean this more towards the HSE and people like that. The fact that there has been a 5 to 6-fold increase in the number of presentations. But over that same time period, there hasn't been a matching increase in the amount of resources. In fact, as far as I'm aware, the resources have stayed the same over that time period. So it's something that really needs to get out there. And I'm glad that people are now talking about it and there's awareness about it. But that's no good if people don't act on it and we don't actually get the resources that we need to deal with this growing problem.
Okay, I think I know the answer to this question, but what is the resourcing like at the moment?
Well, it's hugely understaffed. So I suppose from this perspective, so you're probably aware of the CAMHS or the Childhood and Adolescent Mental Health Services. So they provide an excellent service, a community-based service that is essential for the management of these children.
But they're firefighting.
They are firefighting. And as I said, they're doing a brilliant job, but there's only so much that they can do. The HSE's Vision for Change document highlighted the fact that we ideally want children with mental health presentations to be managed in the community. The emergency department is not the most appropriate environment for these. It's very loud, very noisy. The doctors seeing them have multiple children that they're trying to manage, whereas these children are very vulnerable. They need you to spend time with them, to listen to them, be able to hear their worries. And the last thing you need to be doing is in the middle of them telling you their secrets or these stories that you run off to manage another emergency that comes in the door.
And of course, by definition, if they've got mental health issues, the harm, the damage, the injuries are internal, can't be seen and are very, very hard to diagnose.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a proportion of children have self-harmed, but that's not the main issue, isn't the physical injury. It's the mental health disorder driving it. And that was the second most common presentation we saw, actually, was deliberate self-harm. So between suicidal ideation and deliberate self-harm, that accounted for 2/3 of our presentations, with a smaller number of depression, anxiety, eating disorders and a variety of other cases.
And how much of that self-harm could have been an attempt to commit suicide, do you know? Or
Say, but what I do know is that deliberate self-harm is actually the most accurate predictor of future suicide. So that's step one. That's first attempt, kind of thing. Exactly. So it's a huge thing when someone self-harms. It's not something, you know, small. It's a huge wake-up call and a warning sign that of what might lie ahead. And even in itself, it's a very worrying.
You know, as a parent who had children who were kind of Celtic Tiger cubs who, were coming out of school as the crash happened.
Yeah.
And as you know, because the figures are there and it's all, I dealt with it previously on television programme on numerous occasions with people in Pieta House, et cetera, there was an epidemic of young suicide.
Yeah.
And it was utterly... it was devastating for the people who went through it, right? But for those of us who were on you know, observing it or commentating on it and who had children in that that age cohort, it was utterly terrifying.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, okay, we've managed to get that generation through. And, you know, a lot didn't and a lot are still carrying the grief of it.
Yeah.
But to think now that there was another generation coming up behind them 10 years later, who are even younger, is utterly terrifying.
I know. And it's a real wake-up call. I know, like the HSE, for example, in 2014 published a document, A Vision for Change, that I mentioned, highlighting that of the, so there's 19 paediatric units around the country. Of them, three of them have in-house liaison psychiatry cover. And at the time in 2004, so before we started looking at this data, the HSE proposed that 13 of the 19 should have in-house liaison psychiatry cover. And at present, we still have only three of the 19 that have in-house cover. So as I mentioned, although hospitals aren't the ideal environment to be managing children like this, sometimes they do need to come to hospitals.
So you've got 16% of the people that you need in those positions.
We have
three out of 19.
Three hospitals out of the 19 have in-house psychiatry cover. And obviously, children like this, they need specialized intervention by people who are experienced at dealing with these very challenging and emotive cases. So it's important. I think facts like that are important to call out, particularly when the HSE themselves were the ones who recommended that 13 units should have psychiatric cover. By the way, those figures were from 2014. Back when we started collecting our data, yeah, was 2006. So since then, things have increased dramatically, but we're still at three. So I think that's important to call out.
By the way, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Dr. Owen Fitzgerald, who's a paediatric specialist registrar at Crumlin Hospital, but he's telling us about a survey which he was part of and helped to conduct when he was in Temple Street Hospital, the bottom line of which is that there's been over a 500% rise in children presenting with mental health issues in a 10-year period up to now, and another increase since that survey was completed. If I'm in the HSE and I have people like you on the front line, yeah, experts who have the expertise, who know what's going on, and then who are dealing with it at the coalface, and people like you, not just you on your own, but other people like you, come to me and say, lads, this is what is happening, and you shout and you're standing up and you're calling them out in public, how can I ignore that?
Well, I'd like to think that they don't ignore it anymore.
But the fact that you're doing this here today means that this is not how people like you operate normally.
No.
You go to your bosses, you go up the chain of command, you say, here's the problem, you get some help, some resources, some support. The fact that you're out here talking about this publicly means that you're shouting, you're standing on the deck of the ship going, lads, this is going down, you need to do something, you need to listen to me.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, exactly as you say, this isn't something I'd be doing on a regular basis. But what I would say is my colleague, Dr. Barrett, has been trying to push this agenda for a long time, and it's fallen on deaf ears. So as I mentioned,
so are you at the end of your tether with them?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, I suppose personally, I was working in this department for a short period. So I now work in a different department, but I certainly know that Dr. Barrett and her colleagues have been pulling their hair out trying to get resources towards this. And I'm very thankful, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to bring some attention to this. And hopefully, I suppose attention's great, but it needs to be followed by action, and it definitely needs political will as well. And I'm hoping at the moment there's been a lot of talk from political leaders about their plans in the future, and I suppose hopefully this is a timely reminder as to the extent of this problem.
Okay, well look, Dr. Owen Fitzgerald, thank you very much for coming in and for doing that. For those of us who as parents went through, either as observers or worse, as participants in that, you know, suicide epidemic, and remember it, and some of us still bear the scars of it. Thank you for doing that. And anytime you want to stand up on your hind legs and shout out loud at them, come in here.
Yeah.
You'll find a welcome platform.
And thank you so much.
Not at all. You're more than welcome. Obviously, if this discussion has affected you in any way, and you or either you personally, or you're aware of somebody who is self-harming or who's going through what you think might be suicidal ideation, ring the Samaritans. The free phone line is 116 123. 116 123.